How are you doing? I feel like I didn't even ask.
So rude.
I know, right? It took me like 3 minutes.
These
I've been
stars,
here for three
they only
minutes.
They're only concerned about themselves.
Listen, the things you hear, like I've had photographers tell me they will never work with any artist that's above a certain size because they're all the worst. I'm like, I don't think that's true. But.
No, I don't think that's true. I also think I do want to work with an artist.
Yes.
You want to work with a big artist.
Of course.
Of course.
Anyway.
Deal with the fact that they're probably going to suck.
Again.
That's fine.
Again.
Yeah.
How are you? We didn't get there.
I'm doing great, actually. Okay. I'm doing really good. Okay. Do you think, like, have you noticed yourself, like, as you become more and more successful, do you start doing things and you're like, oh my God, maybe now that I'm more successful, like that thing I just said is going to be interpreted in a weird way or something? Like, are you worried about this?
Yes.
That you're going to become one of those, like, really successful artists?
Canceled people?
No, I don't know about that.
Because I'm constantly being worried.
What? You're...
Well, something my therapist tells me is, and we're not even started yet, right?
Is I think just, we're in. Are we in?
Something my therapist tells me is that if only people who are so worried about getting canceled are not the ones that are going to get canceled.
That's like the Dunning-Kruger effect.
So I feel better
effect.
Knowing
you,
that.
That you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
You're going to be fine. But hey, the show last week, this show was so fun. Barry Ballroom.
Yes.
I always confuse my venues in New York. Okay, Barry Ballroom. Did you feel good about it?
I did feel very
it
good.
It was great, right?
Yeah.
Were you, I feel like this, New York's a tough city because you've got the fans, you had your whole family there. This was a whole hometown show.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had industry, like your entire team was there.
Mm-hmm.
Your guest list was like 150 people alone, I heard. So, like, you've got that going on, but you don't want to play the industry. You got to play the fans. You had so many fans there who were, like, holding up their phones, and people were bringing, like, heart signs that they were passing around. Like, it was crazy. But, like, are you freaking out before you go on? How nervous are you before you play the Bowery Ballroom?
As someone who – dramatic pause. As someone who is extremely anxious all the time – the only thing that gets me through my stage fright and my anxiety is ritual and routine.
Really?
And so, oh yeah. So I have a very strict pre-show routine, and this was my 13th performance in 2 weeks. And so, yes, I was nervous, but I was less nervous because I did my meditation, I did my journaling, I did my affirmations, I did my handshakes with my band, I sprayed my rose water. Like, I did my routine, so I would say, like, on a scale from 1 to, like, shitting my pants, I was, like, probably at, like, a 5 or 6.
On the – okay. But
of, like,
was that more
scale.
Nervous than, like, the other shows? Like, did did the New York show feel like it had some weight to it?
It did feel like it had some weight to it. I was also excited. I was also excited because
my
mom and dad were there and my family was there and my
you're like,
team.
At that point, this show's dialed in and you're like,
yeah,
let's
exactly.
show people what we've been doing
exactly.
the past month, like on the road. Now everyone's going to get to see this
right.
show. Hopefully this is the most polished.
Right. But don't get me wrong. I was extremely nervous.
Really?
Of course. I'm always nervous.
And like every time you go on before a show.
In general.
Like, I get so excited
just
though.
In general.
Do you get excited though to go on? Like
yes.
if I'm about to play a show, I get more excited
yes.
Than I am nervous unless I'm doing like a hometown show and then I get really nervous.
That's what I always say and it's what keeps me performing is that the excitement and the gratitude outweighs the nerves. And that's why I keep doing it.
When you meditate, like I do meditation, but I do like TM.
Mm-hmm.
I did a course like a long time ago. Like, what are you doing? Do you have like an app? Do you have like what are you like the mindfulness app or like what is meditation to you? Insight timer. And what do you do?
I think that's what it's called.
You're in the green room and
yes.
Is that what you're doing?
Yes, I'm in the green room and the general policy of our green room is that everyone's welcome. Anyone can talk. Anyone to me to anyone. It's a very welcome.
You were
open
so
space.
Welcoming of us in the green
Truly,
room.
Truly, anyone's. It's,
yeah.
If anyone wants to be there, I want them to be there.
Like
it means
we
so
were
much.
Like, oh my god, do you want us to leave? And you were like, no, stay.
Please
like,
stay.
Don't
yeah.
leave.
If
yeah.
you want to say hi to me, I always want to say hi to you.
But,
however, in those 10 minutes, my crew knows not to bother me. So the sign for that is just, and it's always 10 minutes. It's like never more. I understand. You know, I'm not out here meditating for an hour, but earbuds in, eyes closed. And it's the only time my eyes are closed in the green room and they know I'm just like sitting there like this. And they know in those 10 minutes, they don't bother me. But any other time, anyone can bother me.
Because we were in the green room after too. Yeah. And we were like, do you want us to leave? And you were like, no, don't leave. Because don't you feel like you played the show and you had like, you know, so many people freaking out over you. And then you're in the green room and it's like so lonely, right? Like, don't you want people around
That's
you?
That's what I said too. I was like.
You were like, no, don't
leave.
Can
you actually stay?
Yeah.
I've been around people, you know, for the last month. And I wasn't quite ready to, like, be alone.
But aren't you introvert? You always say you're introvert, right? But you still like being around people who are, like, you still like being around what? Like people at the shows.
Yeah. Well, I always say that I wouldn't be one without the other. So when I'm in show mode, when I'm in Rosie in all caps mode, extroverted, talks to everybody, always needs people around her, thrives off of the people around me. But I can only be that because of the rest of the time I'm quiet, I'm by myself, I'm a hermit, I don't talk to anyone, I'm completely alone, like, just me and, I just, like, call my mom, you know, like, Friday nights, I'm staying in, like, it's the reason I can be so extroverted when I am on stage and performing and an artist is because the rest of me is so quiet.
So that's what, but even post-show, you're still feeling that energy.
Yeah, and you know, I had to, and then I had an industry meet after for an hour or whatever. So I was still in
the industry meet after was like that. Isn't that when you're like, I just want to go out and celebrate the end of this tour. And then it's like, oh my God, now I got to talk to all the industry. And
honestly, and I'm not just saying this cause I'm like on record right now on camera, but
it's just you and me here. There's no record.
Well, okay. I was actually really excited because in my opinion, anyone who was there is part of the reason that I was able to do that show and able to do this tour and is why I am where I am today. And so just it meant a lot that I got the opportunity to say thank you to everyone and to hug everybody and just say hi because it had been a minute since I've seen certain parts of my team. And, you know, I had never, like, really met you, but
no,
you were there.
I was there.
And I got to see you, right? So it's
so
like
great.
It was a really good opportunity. I was tired for sure.
Yeah.
I was really tired, but – yeah.
Do you feel like sometimes if I play a show, I can be so tired before and then afterwards.
I'm jazzed.
I'm not tired. I'm like, yeah. But the other thing is like when I play a show, like I'm a side man, so I don't have to worry about anything. Mm-hmm. Like I can play guitar, Like I can show up and play guitar and I'm done.
Be careful of those guitar men.
Oh my God. What are you talking about?
We'll get into that later.
What are you talking about? Here's my point. My point is I don't have to worry about anything. Mm-hmm. I show up, I play guitar, I go home. The entire energy of the show is in your hands because you're the front man. You're the front woman. So it's like you did all these things where you had the crown, the palm of your hand. Like you were like, hey, we're all going to sing Potential together. I'm going to teach this to you right now. You got the whole room singing it. Do you work out these things that you're going to do in the set to say like, here's going to be a low point. I need to bring the crowd up here. The entire energy of the show comes down to you. It's a small band. Like you're the one that we're all coming to see you. Isn't that a lot of pressure? Like what do you do about that?
That's a great question. First of all, when it comes to energy and energy on stage, energy with the crowd, it's interesting you bring this up specifically in the New York show because, you know, there was industry people, there was friends and family, there was fans. And so I was really grappling with this idea of how to include everyone and make everybody feel.
Because the industry's not
Because industry's not, and family friends are kind of just there because they're like, oh, like, we knew Rosie when she was two.
I knew her when she was five.
You
know,
exactly. So it's not the same, like, fandom as
the So you switched it up a little bit?
No, I didn't. I did it the exact same way because I remembered the entire purpose of the healing tour is to evoke emotion and make humans and people feel things. And I don't care if you know me since I was two. I don't care if you're a label exec. I don't care if you're a radio promo or a podcaster or a fan, family friend. You have feelings. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do what I do every night because there's no difference. There's literally no difference. We're all humans. And my goal was just to, like, bring everybody together in one space. And I feel like we did that, you know?
It felt like that.
It felt like – I couldn't tell, honestly. Like, I couldn't tell
who was
what.
Yeah.
And that was my goal. So
there were a couple, like, guys in the very back. I was like, those are the industry.
Oh,
other
sure.
than that, I do feel like everyone kind of melt, like,
they
came
meshed
together.
And that – to me, that was a really, really big win. I don't celebrate many wins. My team and I are very, like, head-down oriented.
Yeah.
But, like, it felt like a huge win that everyone felt seemed really engaged.
Did you build the show like with a musical director at the beginning? And do you go into, what do you do? Like you go into a rehearsal space for how many days?
So I built it with Michael, who is our TM and he runs front of house, and Alex Kopp, who is just, he's an incredible, they're both incredible humans. But we sat down a couple weeks before the show and planned everything out, the transitions, what we wanted the intro to sound like, how we wanted the set to flow. And the set was very intentional because there's a storyline, there's a through line. So it starts with the sad girl era and the like depression and leading to acceptance and then the healing. And by the end, you're like healed and you're happy. So, and just, you know, excited. Yeah.
You brought this like arc to them. You were like, hey, I want to achieve this arc. How are we going to do this?
Right. So me, Michael, Alex, Mateo, we all just like figured it out together, which is why I take very little credit, honestly, because I couldn't have figured it out without them.
But then like when you do that thing in special where you're or potential where you're like, I'm going to get the whole crowd saying special, like you had to figure that out way before you went on the road, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you were like, that's a moment that I'm going to get the whole crowd sing along. You had to work that out because that's your set, right? The guys have to know it's coming. Like, mm-hmm. that's how it works, right? Yeah. Oh, my God.
And it's all thought out.
It's all thought out.
If you think, like, there are impulsive moments, and of course there is so much to putting on a show that's creative, but everything is planned out to the second. And I mean to the second. Like, we have
Because it's only clips.
Yes, we have literal seconds of like, okay, this song is 3 minutes and 22 seconds, and then we have a 16 second talking break, and then Rosie 5 seconds for water. Go back, like.
You have 16 seconds to talk?
Yeah.
And you just feel that out, or you know, like in your head, there's a voice that's like.
I practice it, and like I said, it's not, it's hard to explain because it's. The show itself is planned out. The set list planned out. Talking points planned out. But how I express it, how I say it, who I'm talking to changes. So I don't want people to interpret that as like, oh, I just put on the same show and I don't think about it and whatever. It's like within that, there's a lot to be to be creative with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I believe
you know what
it.
I mean?
And the energy you bring, even the mood, like it's different every night, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. When you tour with your brother, though, do you guys get along on the road or like do you get into stupid fights and then the rest of your crew is like, oh, my God, I can't deal with these siblings. Like, what's the dynamic?
We don't fight.
Really?
True. And I'm not just saying that since I was born. He's always been my biggest ally. He's always looked out for me. Like, of course, we've had spats over the years, but like overall, he's just been such a supportive brother, such a supportive friend, such a supportive manager, keys player. And again, I'm not just saying that because we're on a podcast. Like, I respect him. He respects me. You know, we're equals. That's the way I see it. And I know he's like, Rosie, you're the boss. Like, you're the boss. You're the artist. And I know that. But I value his opinion so much and I value his presence. And his
he role. Really did the artist thing for like a moment. Like, mm-hmm. he had like a Kickstarter. He like funded his whole.
Oh, you were there for that.
His whole project and his whole album. Like, and did you see that when you're like, I could do this?
No.
Like, I could totally do this.
No. I was inspired by him. I was very inspired by him. I mean, classic younger sister fashion. I mean, like, everything he did, I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So, sports, play with construction sites, you know, baseball, piano, violin, guitar, songwriting, being an artist. It all started with him. And I was like, I want to do that. I want to do that too.
So when you like first started to see massive success, when you first started going viral on TikTok, like did you ever consider another manager or it was always Mateo?
First of all, I don't think I found massive success, but I appreciate it. I think I have reached a very, very small level of what could be achieved, but I appreciate it. So that's first. Second of all, the real question.
Yeah.
No, this is the thing. Mateo and I have had conversations. You know, we've discussed, okay, one day maybe we'll need to bring on more help, you know, if everything goes well. But the role of a manager is to protect and to look out for your client and to always do what's best for your client. And he has always done those things.
That's Mateo.
Yeah. So it's him. It's the definition. So I never questioned if he was going to be a good manager to me, ever.
I think, though, like, this song goes up. First of all, you're more likely to get drafted to, like, a major league sports team than you are to sign a record deal. So you sign a record deal, massive success. Look it up.
Is that a true statistic?
Maybe I made it up. I don't know. No, no, no.
I'm like, but somebody
that
tell
is
me,
true. But... So my point is, like, you are a massive success. But so you blow up and everyone starts messaging you the next day. Like, you're in college, right? And you put out the song and everyone blow, you know, it goes viral on TikTok with how many views? Like 13 million views. 17 million views.
He made me say that.
So does everyone start DMing you? Because I've heard you say that, like, everyone, the entire industry was, like, messaging you the next day, but how do they even know how to get in contact with you? They're in your DMs on, like, Instagram?
DMs?
And they found it that fast?
That fast. I would say within 2 hours. 2 hours, I got my first.
And you didn't even like this song. Never the one. You thought that was, like, a throwaway.
Yeah, it wasn't my favorite. I liked it, but it wasn't my favorite. I didn't think it was very hooky. I didn't think it was very catchy.
I feel like it's so clever, though.
Thank you.
And it was a solo. Were all your songs solo rights? Because this is a solo write.
Yeah, it was either me or Mateo and I.
Yeah.
But this one, yeah, this was a solo.
And so everyone starts blowing you up. And are you, like, freaking, like, you go, Mateo, what do we do? What do we, and how long did it take before you started putting, like, were you like, everyone calm down? Or did you feel like, we have to, like...
No, we kicked into gear immediately.
We have to capitalize on this,
we took
on this moment.
12 label meetings in a week.
Were you in, like, Boston?
I was still in Boston
so
in college.
So where'd you go? Did you fly, or did you do it all remotely, I guess?
I did, okay, A, I did it all remotely, and B, this was, like, major COVID time, so my computer broke. I did all these meetings on my phone.
Like, on your phone, you're meeting with people.
Like, on Zoom, on my phone.
And what are people saying? Like, are people trying to, like, woo you and just, like, promise the moon and just say crazy things? Like, what's it like to be pursued by these labels?
Yes. There's definitely a lot of wooing, and there's a lot of pursuing, and there's
But, like, how they, like, what do they say? They go, like, is it, like, the cliches that you always hear? Or they say, like, when COVID comes up, we're going to fly you out here and, like, courtside at the Knicks? Like, what are they saying to try to convince you that they're the best home for you?
Well, first of all, something that a lot of them said, which worked, which I appreciate, is that they always mentioned my songwriting, which meant a lot because that is such a big, like,
that's such a line, don't you think? They say that to everyone.
Oh, I'm sure, I took it personally because I was like, I do, like, they were like, you know, you have such a catalog and that's incredible. And I was like, let's go. Because I actually have been writing
for
so many
years.
How'd
they know, though? They just...
Because we sent along a reel, like, anyone we met with, like, before, we made sure to send along a reel and just, like, a bio, whatever. So they said that. It depends because some labels were a little bit more flashy. So, like, I had one label take me in their Tesla to the top of, like, a canyon in L.A. and be like, this could be yours. And, like, I had one person.
All this. This whole canyon.
I had one
and
person
the Tesla
take me to
could be yours.
The most expensive lunch place in L.A. And if you know
which
me.
Which place?
I forget what it's called. I'm sorry. It was so long ago. I'll remember. I'll tell you.
But, yeah.
But it's just, like, that doesn't work for me. Like, to me. This goes to why I chose Aristide, but basically there was a lot of promises and there was a lot of show and tell. Like, yeah, we give you this much, you move to LA and do this and that, and, you know, take you in your Tesla and give you super fancy brunch. And to me, all I wanted was a Prezi PowerPoint of what a label was going to do for me long term, right? Like, how they were going to help me build my career.
Yeah.
So, did that answer your question?
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I always say you have to take what you want most and what you want right now. And
this
I'm just messing because this is what you always say. This is, you always say this. You're always like,
know what you want.
What do you say?
And,
know what you
want
now.
Know what you want most and don't put what you want now
over what you want most. Because everyone's promising you these Teslas and you're like, look, like I'll have a million Teslas when I'm on the top of Mount Rushmore.
I actually want a Prius.
A Prius. Yeah, yeah. You're like, I'll have all this when I get to the top because you made me a successful artist at the end of the day. You're like, that's what I'm really here for, right?
Well, yeah, and that's ultimately why Arista won me over is because I –
What'd they do? They
Friday night, it was like a holiday weekend, something like that. David asked me, he said, you know, what do you need from us? And I said,
And what did you need?
A presentation.
A presentation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A Prezi on why I should sign. Logistically, like, we want to put this out. We're going for these editorials. And also, good terms. You know what I mean? Like, that was another thing. I think financially, I wasn't exactly stable, but I knew that I wanted good terms more than I was looking for that huge advance. And like, I am very fortunate. I consider I got both, but like, they, you know, there was a lot of, you know, oh, this much money and that, and oh, don't worry about the terms. Don't worry about the terms. I'm like, no, the terms are my freedom. They're gonna define where I'm at. Well, not them. Well, yes. Like they try to blanket it a little bit.
Yeah.
In the money or in the flashiness.
They say, no, right? The terms aren't that important.
Or
what's important
it's
is
more subtle than that, because again, no label's trying to screw me over. You know what I mean? Like I'm very.
Well, maybe they are. I don't know.
I mean, who knows?
Some of them might have been.
Yeah. So it was a Friday night. Everyone got on the Zoom and was like, where the fuck are we here on a Friday night? But they gave me a presentation. They said, these are our goals. This is what we want. The terms were really great. I have an incredible lawyer. Shout out Gillian Barr. And so I was like, great. That's all I need. I didn't need freaking fancy ass dinner. I didn't need to fly me to LA.
That's not what I'm here for.
I was like, where's the music? You know, there's a conversation about.
Yeah.
And also, Arista really, really loved my no makeup, no filters. Like, they encouraged it. You know, they loved that was what I stood for, and that was really awesome.
How were you presenting that at the time? Like, was that just something that you were showing in TikToks, or were you being super vocal about that and saying that to Arista?
I was on social media, and I made it clear to every label. I said, that's a non-negotiable. Like, I will continue to do no filters and not use any Facetune and not wear makeup. And honestly, because we are in this stage of life where I think vulnerability is like really celebrated, everyone was like, okay, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, like that was like.
They were like, yeah, obviously. Piece of cake. I thought it was going to be a lot harder, but it wasn't. They were all like, of course.
They were like, yeah, whatever. Let's get back to the music.
Yeah, they're like anyway.
Yeah.
Let's sign. And I get it. There was a lot of momentum around this one song. So I understand the.
Yeah. That's all it took, though, was the Prezi.
Mm-hmm. It was the Prezi.
And they did it. And then did you meet them before you signed? Yeah. Like, this was all done
virtually?
Yeah.
I may have had a meeting or two, but then we got dinner and I'm trying to remember if we met in person.
And they brought you to like a cheap diner.
No, see, this is where, and they asked. They brought me to an Italian restaurant. I'm Italian and my family is Italian, and I got to bring my mom and my dad, and like, you know, that's what I wanted. I was like, I don't need.
Is that really cool to like bring the parents and just be like, look, mom, I'm not gonna be a screw up. I mean, they push you to do music, right? So also that to be like, you guys were right. Look at this. Like, that's gonna be a cool.
Yes, they were very proud, and they always supported me way more than I supported myself.
Yeah.
In terms of this whole music career hobby thing, you know?
Yeah. Were like, your Berkeley friends like super jealous, pretend to be excited for you, but really they were wishing it was them who was signing with a major label? What were they saying?
I'm not sure. By the time I left Berkeley, I really believe I found my people.
Yeah.
And that may have been two or three people, but I'll take two or three good friends over 15 fake friends or 20, 30.
That's how I feel.
I don't need that many. So by the time I had my moment, I had a couple really great people around me, and they were so supportive, and they were honestly nothing.
The ships rise together.
Yeah,
right?
and that's what you realize, you know, and that's what I told them too. I was like, oh, well, this is happening for me because it's gonna happen for you.
Yeah.
And it has for certain people, you know? And I'm like, well, there you go.
I only have, from school, I went to Berkeley, too. I only have, like, maybe.
You went to Berkeley?
Yeah, I know. Can you believe it? I only can't. I only have, like, five friends that I keep in touch with from Berkeley. Mm-hmm. But they're all out, like, crushing it. I was like, that's all I need. Like, everyone else. And somebody messaged me, like, after 2 years. Like, I haven't spoken to this person in 2 years. And they messaged me last week. And they were like, hey, we have a new song out. Like, can you promote it? And I was like, we haven't spoken for 2 years.
Well, right. And I
was like, and I ended up promoting it. But I was like, no, like, you weren't one of my friends at Berkeley. Like,
yeah, and I think understanding the difference, and this is a big one as an artist, too, is the difference between being friendly and being friends.
Yeah, right?
You know?
That's the thing, too, because, like stars, like, people like you have this, like, star persona. Like, everyone thinks you're their best friend. Like, you'll meet these fans, I guarantee, and the fans will be like, did I just become friends with Rosie? And it's like, probably not. She probably really appreciated meeting you, but you're probably never going to see them again.
Here's what I want to specify, though, because I do want my fans to feel like they have a friend in me.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Because actually, and what I've realized, I do see a lot of them more than once. And I remember their names.
They keep
coming
back to the
shows. And I remember their
faces.
Yes. And so more what it is that Rosie the artist she really does want her fans to feel like they can be friends with me and they can open up to me and be vulnerable with me. And that is true. So Rosie Artist does truly consider these fans as a form of friends and friendship. But I am also a human, and that's when I shut off, and that's when I'm not on Instagram. That's when I'm going for a walk. That's when I'm doing something completely unrelated. Because as an artist, I do want my fans to feel like they can be friends. You know, they can, and then they all meet each other, and you get this incredible community.
Have you made, like, any real friends from the road? And real friends in the sense, like, have you met anyone who's come to a show that has actually become a friend that, like, maybe you would go get lunch with?
Again, I think that's the separation between Rosie in all caps and Rosie in not all caps. But there are so many incredible people I've met and fans who, like I said, I consider to be like homies and I consider to be friends. I don't know about getting lunch. I don't know about any of that just because, like, when? You know what I mean? Like,
when am I going to have time?
When am I going to do that?
But when are we going to get lunch?
Like I said, I know so many people by name. I know who my supporters are, and they're because they're such huge supporters. Yeah. Like, who am I not to remember their name or not remember their face?
I would have such a hard time doing that. How do you, like, make an effort, like, when you meet a fan? Are you like saying their name five times in your head as you're shaking their hand?
Yeah, and
like artists are so good at this. I'm horrible at this. I forget names so quickly.
Yes, but also, you know, Instagram.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
see the same people commenting. Like, my biggest supporters are people I want to support. You know? So if I see people's name popping up again and again, or someone is repeatedly just giving so much to me in the Rosebud community and whoever, like, I want to know who they are because they know who I am and they're making an effort to get to know me.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't I make an effort to get to know them? And that really does go for all fans and all followers, which is why I love doing lives and going to concerts and asking questions to the crowd, because I'm like, I want to know.
Yeah.
I want to know about you. I want to know how you're feeling.
What do you ask them?
Well, this last tour was a lot of checking in. It was, how are you doing? You know, I asked the crowd, I said, tell me, like, on a scale from 1 to 10, what's, you know, how are people feeling? And they gave honest answers and then I was like, okay, well, I'll tell you how I'm feeling. So there's a connection. And then also in meet and greet, I made sure on this tour that meet and greet was free and that anyone who wanted to meet me could.
That's always the move, right? You gotta
do
that.
It's so important. Like, I want to be accessible to everyone. And so when I was meeting people, how are you doing? How have you been? You know,
yeah.
Like, what have you been up to? How is your summer? Like, I want to know these things because.
Oh my God. Are people freaking out to meet you? Like, because they see you on their TikTok all the time.
I've had some silly moments.
But if they
sure.
weren't seeing you all the time, they wouldn't be at the show. So they're seeing
right.
you all the time
right.
and they feel like they know you, but you've never met them. So, but they have to be so excited. Like, what was a silly moment? Like, they have to be freaking out.
Well,
to
sometimes.
Meet you.
Sometimes people get the shakes. Like, they'll be like, hi, like, it's so nice to meet you. And
isn't
I'm like,
isn't that crazy? You're like, I'm just Rosie.
Well,
like,
and then they apologize, like, I'm sorry, I'm so nervous. And I said, hey, listen, I'm nervous all the time. So
yeah.
you don't even worry about it. Like, I'm nervous now, too. I'm nervous every second of the day. So we can be nervous together. And they're just like, okay. Like,
yeah.
And then they, like, calm down. Because I just tell them, I'm like, I get nervous a lot.
That happens, like.
So you just normalize it, you know?
Yeah. Like, even when I go on the road, like, post-show, like, fans will come up to me and they're so nervous. I'm like, be nervous around that dude who's, like,
yeah,
the headliner.
But, or again, I just.
Like, I'm not worth being nervous around.
No, and also, but also just, who I am as an artist is, I want to feel like a friend. I want people to look at me as another human being, not some deity, like, not
yeah.
someone who's above everyone else. So that's why I'm like. You're nervous? Oh, good. I'm nervous, too. I was shaking as fuck before I got on
stage. I was nervous to meet you before I walked on stage. No,
oh.
I'm saying what you're saying.
I was like,
before I walked on
yeah,
stage to perform,
I was nervous to see you.
Right.
Or if someone, like, cries, right, when they meet me, I'm like, that means so much. Like, I cried the other day.
Yeah.
Like, don't apologize for your tears. Don't apologize for crying. I literally just told you on stage that what you're feeling is valid, and you should be crying if that's what you're feeling.
Yeah.
You know? So, if anything, it's a lot of unapologizing for people, saying, stop. Don't apologize.
I wish I could get nervous around people. Like, I remember when I was younger, like, I used to meet these big executives
mm-hmm.
or these artists, and it would make me
yeah.
so nervous. That was kind of exciting. Now, I don't know who would make me nervous to meet. Like, is there anyone that you would get really, like, that you would have that same response to?
Like, I still get nervous. Like, I still get nervous meeting a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like, many people. I'm like, I don't know if there's anyone I would meet that I wasn't nervous about meeting.
Really?
Yeah, but I'm not, like, visibly nervous.
Yeah, right.
You know, I've gotten good at, like.
Just composing.
Composure.
Yeah.
But yes, absolutely.
Okay,
fair
enough.
Because being nervous is normal.
Yeah, that's the point. Here's the point, though. The new EP is out. 5 songs great for healing. Transition. Great transition,
great
right?
Great transition.
Okay, this EP is great. It's so thank great. You. Top to bottom. It's only 5 songs, mm-hmm. by the way, too. Like, sometimes these projects get a little long and it's hard to, like, build a connection to this. It's like, no. Once through, you listen, you're like, every song, I'm into it. Thank so, 5 songs for healing. This was not, you did not set out to write this project with this theme. Didn't you just look back after you wrote a bunch of songs and said, oh my God, like, there's a theme here. 5 songs for healing. This could be the theme of the EP. Is that how you did? Like, you were just writing freely, and then you said, wait a second, there's, like, a theme here.
Yeah. I would say that's accurate, for sure. I was going through a phase in my life, and I was trying to find the key. What's the word? The connecting piece. I was like, what emotion is connecting all these together, you know? Like, and I just realized all of it was healing, right? Whether it was Next Life or I Should Just Go to Bed or Someone You Once Had. I looked back one day and I was talking on the phone with Mateo and I was like, it's healing. And he was like, 5 songs for healing? And I was like,
he
yes.
said that.
He said that, especially because 2 numbers are such a big part of my history, right?
Yeah.
Like with Never the One, with 20 milligrams of happiness, 5 songs for healing. Like there's this number thing going on. So it just, yeah.
So he says that.
Yeah.
5 songs for healing. And then did you already had the 5 songs picked?
Yes.
Or yeah. You had the 5 songs picked and he said 5 songs for healing. You go, oh my God, Mateo.
Yes, because we had brilliant. So many, we had so many options. We had Maybe in My Next Life. We had God Knows I've Been Trying. Like there were a million different things yeah. that we came up with. But I realized that, again, the most universal was just 5 songs for healing. Because again, like, who do you know in your life who isn't actively wanting to change something or work on something or healing from something,
yeah.
you know?
Here are 5 songs.
Here are 5
that
songs.
You can do that too.
That, in my opinion, all touch on a different form of healing too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a different stage of healing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Different stage or just a different aspect of healing.
Why is so I Should Go to Bed is
I Should Just Go to Bed, yeah.
Is the single. When you started playing that at the show.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you know Will Tenney.
Of course
you
know, I know Will Tenney.
Of course.
I don't know Will Tenney.
First of all, I knew the song, but Will Tenney, like, tapped me on the shoulder when you started playing that, and he was like, listen to this. This is a great song. I was like, I know what song it is. But, like, he was like, no, I'm telling you. Like,
Will,
he was like,
I love
this song. So, like, that song is special, but given that that is the single, like, what does that really mean? Like, now all your content is going to be around this song. Your TikToks are going to be around this song. Like, why, what happens now that we've decided that that's the single for the project at the moment?
At this current moment?
Isn't it the single at this moment?
Yeah, it is absolutely.
So now,
yeah.
So what does that really mean?
Well, what does that really mean? I mean, it means that as expressed, it's the focus track. So it is the focus. So it's kind of like, in my opinion, like the rest of the songs are here. And I Should Just Go to Bed is like the nucleus. You know? Is that the right word? Science?
The center of the... Yes. Yeah.
So...
Great word.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
So what it means is that I think that song really, it represents, it's a good representation of all of the songs. It means that it's the one that I've been posting the most and probably will continue to post. It means that, and one of the reasons we chose it is that it seems the most globally relatable. So... Other people
Everybody's
are finding
gotta Everyone, connect to this, right?
Tell me, has anyone never had that experience of really wanting to text someone or really wanting to do something and just knowing you're supposed to go to bed? Do you ever watch How I Met Your Mother?
Yeah, I've seen it.
So
yeah.
Ted Mosby is always like, nothing good happens after 2 a.m.
Yeah.
True.
That's a song right there, right?
I mean, that's kind of what it's about.
That's
it's like,
the point,
yeah. I should just go to bed.
That was the inspiration for the song? Or no, just you were just like, that's something that he says, so that's great. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't the full inspiration for the song, but it definitely crossed my mind.
But given that that's the single, like, what does that mean? Now you, like, what does the label want you to do with this song being the single?
I mean...
You're just supposed to work a little harder around this song,
yeah,
right?
Just push it. Just, you know, put it out there.
Yeah.
Keep posting it. Do different types of content. So, like, probably, like, open verse and... you know, use it behind some like day in the life videos, things like that. A lot of it is content oriented when it comes to a spotlight.
This story. Didn't your therapist give you the hook for potential?
Yes, she did.
Is she credited on the song? Like, does she get any royalties on this?
She didn't. And she didn't ask. She also was in the industry for many years. So she knew, you know.
She was?
Yes.
You need a therapist who's in the industry or who understands.
And it was completely coincidental.
What did she do in the industry?
She was a singer. She was like a studio
singer.
No way.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
And her husband was like a famous drummer.
That's what you need, right?
Yeah. And it was completely coincidental. I had no idea going into it.
And then did she tell you at some point or?
Well, it was actually on our first call because I was all like sticking up for myself. And I was like,
how do you meet a therapist? Did a friend introduce you? It's hard to
meet
a therapist.
Well, my mom's a counselor. So she connected me in this specific case because she.
My mom did that too because my mom's also a counselor.
Right.
She connected me to a therapist who it wasn't her fault because she was. She was getting like a referral from a friend and like we found this therapist. She didn't really know her, but she was horrible. And then I ended up finding another therapist. So sometimes those referrals don't work
out. Sometimes they don't work out. But in this case, my mom referred me. We had a phone call. I was sticking up for myself. I was like, listen, I'm a musical artist, which means that I can't keep a consistent schedule. There's no way I can FaceTime you or do in-person sessions the same time every week. It has to be every other week. And I'm like laying down all these things. Yeah. And she's like, oh, honey, I was in the industry for 30 years. I totally get it. Like, we could do in-person. We can do Zoom. We can do inconsistent, like, every other week, whatever you need. I was like.
I had the same conversation with this other therapist. Mm-hmm. And she said, no, that's not going to work. She was and I was like, well, this isn't going to work.
I totally understand that it's not everyone's lifestyle. And not every professional can adjust like that.
Yeah.
But I happened so lucky. I happened to find a therapist who works.
But so basically you're talking to this therapist about someone in your life and does she say this line to you? What does she say? She says, you just fell in love with their potential. She just says that.
She said, well, it went something like this. I said, why, like, is it me? Why am I unable to keep these relationships? Because I'm not a toxic person, you know?
You seem very cheerful.
I am sane. I know who I am. I'm very rational. So I'm like, what is it that's fucking it up? Sorry, is it okay if I curse?
Yeah, you can say that.
I was like, what is it that's like messing this up? And she said, Rosie, the problem is you because you see the best in people to a detriment. She said, you didn't fall for who they were. You fell for their potential. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, pause. And I like wrote it down.
She must love this. She was like,
yeah, and she actually came to the show in New York, which was pretty cute.
Oh, she was there?
But it's because it's true. And I realized that a lot of us do this. A lot of us fall for the idea of someone who someone might be in the future, who someone could be in the future, but who they aren't right now, because it's a way of A, salvaging the relationship, and B, making yourself feel better. Right? Being like, oh, you know, they're not who I want now, but they will be one day. Or it's giving them leeway that they perhaps don't deserve.
Is that weird to have her at the show or like it was great?
I loved having her at the show.
Did you invite her?
Yes, of course. I invited her. She's on the guest list. She
was one of the like 150
she's
people.
I really think she saved my life in so many ways and just made my life so much better. So I would never.
And she doesn't get a royal. She doesn't get. She's not listed.
I'm going to have to give publishing away.
She doesn't have any publishing on this song.
No, she hasn't asked, but maybe, you know, I'm all about giving.
No, that's the deal that you signed. I come to see you. All of the ideas I get to take as my ideas.
And I've taken so many.
in the songs.
Yeah. Well, it's just therapy such a big part of my life, so.
I just watched Love Again a couple nights ago.
Oh,
I had to watch
it.
You know, I did like it.
It was
really
kind of cute.
It was really cute, right?
It was really cute. Thank you.
I don't know what was. First of all, I got to say this. This is so disturbing. That opening scene, it doesn't give anything away because it literally happens in the first 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's like the opening scene of this movie is it's two people. They're like madly in love with each other. Like it makes me want to throw up how in love they are. Like it's too much. Like they're so obsessed with each other. And the guy then like walks out of a coffee shop and gets hit by a car. And it was so the polar opposite. I had no idea what this movie was about or anything. It was so not what I was expecting to happen in that moment. that I literally started laughing out loud, which is not the right response. Like, that's not, like, no. Like, it broke her heart. And I was, like, so shocked that that's what happens in this movie. But that's what happens. And then she goes on a journey to find herself, mm-hmm. find another guy. But how do you get involved with this? Because so you were writing with someone who basically pulled this pitch in.
Yes.
Right? They said, hey, there's a movie.
Yeah.
And it was called like texts from text you from or a text from you originally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so you have a prompt, and what was the prompt to write a song for?
Yeah.
Like the credits or?
So Dan Wilson, who is just an absolute legend, shout out Dan Wilson. He came to me with his manager, Jim Grant, and they came to Mateo and I and said, hey, we got this pitch for a movie called A Text From You, and they're looking for an end credits song. Do you want to try? And I was like, yeah. They're like, oh, it's Celine Dion singing. I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Not a big deal. So I wrote it with him, and we had a brief, and it basically explained there's a woman who lost someone she loved, and there's a man who lost someone he loved, and they find their way together through text. It was very, like, it was very general, and they said, we're looking for a hopeful song that will give people a sense of learning to love again. And I was like, Dan, it's right there. It's like, it's in Love Again.
You said that. It's, first of all, I can't picture this movie being called anything other than Love Again.
There were so many other titles.
Like, that to me is the title of this movie.
Thank you.
So it was in the brief or whatever.
Well, yeah,
and you
it was
were like,
somewhere
it's
in there
gotta
hidden.
Be called Love
yeah,
Again.
Yeah, it was somewhere in there hidden, like, she learns to love again, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And I was like,
do you get I know you get compensated for the sync, but do you get compensated for coming up with the
There's
title?
There's a whole separate compensation and deal and fee
for
getting
the
title of the movie.
And are you like, oh my God, thank God we came up with this title. Like, that was fantastic. Like, I looked at the brief, I saw the title, boom, payday.
I mean, again, I don't take a lot of credit. I think Dan and I together, something happened that day and we created it, but I'm like, what happened? I still can't believe it. Like the song, the movie was called A Text From You. And then they came back to us one day and they were like, we want rights to the title.
It's going to be called Love Again.
Damn. What is happening? Because I think originally the song was called like, You Will Love Again. And then Dan was like, oh, like, trust me, like, shorten it to Love Again. Like, I feel like that. I was like, yeah. And
because it's like vague and you don't really know what the movie's about.
Yeah.
Like, Love Again could be about anything, but then you watch the movie and you're like, oh my God, like,
it's literally about loving again.
It's about love again.
But I also understand A Text From You.
I thought it was a good movie. I liked it.
Thank you. You know what? I really did too. I don't know why I'm saying thank you. I didn't make the movie.
Well, you just did the
just
title.
Just my default.
Yeah.
It's just my default.
And the song, which is a great song. I thought it was a good movie. I thought it was fun.
I thought so too. It pleasantly surprised me.
Yeah. You did the red carpet too and the whole thing,
did,
right?
Was
that so fun?
It was my first. It was my first.
You were no makeup on the red carpet?
Yes.
Don't you think that you could stick to your image or your idea of like, I'm real on social media? Like, I wish I could wear makeup to these events. Like, sometimes my skin will be breaking out. I'll be like, where's the makeup? Don't you think you could stick to this like very noble idea, which I really love, and like still wear makeup on a red carpet? Or you think that would just, that's just not the point?
Well, the point is to show my real face and my real skin and my real body and who I really am all the time, not just when it's convenient for me.
Yeah.
Which is why I think it's especially important
on the red
carpets, on TV appearances, on tour, on Instagram. It's like those are the moments when it's most important because that's when it's usually
– when people are seeing you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was another big win. That I didn't even realize until
I
after.
I love this. Yeah,
but Mateo
yeah.
and I were like, wow. He was like, do you realize you're one of the only young artists to ever like walk a carpet makeup free? And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That I think it's cool.
So I guess to answer your question, no.
No.
I don't think I could choose certain times when I would wear
yeah,
it
that
certain
feel
times when I don't. Because that would feel
to the mission.
Yeah, I would feel a little bit dishonest.
Or, yeah.
Like, oh, if break up like breakouts, like, oh, I'll wear it today. It's like, no.
Yeah. No, that's the point.
Yeah.
That all right, I get it.
Yeah.
The Good Day New York performance was great too. What was happening there I don't even understand what happened in this video. I was like, is this real? Like, basically, the woman, I'm sure she was well-intentioned, but she was like holding her phone. I actually, before it rang, I was like, is she holding her cell phone? Like, what is she holding? The phone then rings and she's like flustered, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And then she threw it and what did it hit? It hit like a light or something? Like, What was, were you like, hey, this is my moment. Like, silence the phones, people.
First of all love to her. All love to the host. All love to Fox, you know. Happened the way it was supposed to. It was a great first experience.
You got a great clip out of it for it TikTok.
I got a great clip out of it. I don't know what was going through my head, except that I knew it wasn't my phone. I was like, that is
you
not
know,
my
ring. You're like, that's not my ringer.
I would keep it on silent. My phone wasn't even, like, in the room. So that was, like, my first thought. And then she says, oh, I thought it was you. Oh, it's mine. And I'm like, oh, no worries. But then she proceeds to hear John or whoever it is take it. And it goes up.
Like, she threw it out, like,
but it went up. Which, again, it happens. Not on live TV very often, but it happens.
Was that live? It was live?
Yeah.
My phone was
like, cracking up. It was live TV.
Have you ever seen anything like that? Oh, no.
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 And I was like,
of course. We're getting a note that she's never seen anything like that.
It would be my first ever. But when I think about it in retrospect. Anyway, so the point is, she throws the phone up. It, like, hits the light. Something, like, falls.
Yeah.
And we proceed. We keep going.
That's show business.
And, you know, my band in the back was so professional. We kept it together.
Yeah.
My tour manager had to leave the room.
He was dying laughing.
Everyone offstage was dying. They were like, we need to excuse ourselves. But we kept it on. But I will say, one of the reasons that, again, I am an artist is to just show real life. And, like, that's really what happened.
That's what happened.
And I'm actually really grateful that that's what happened, because it happened on live television. It happened on Fox. Like, shit happens, you know?
Yeah.
That was a, like, perfect inhuman moment. Like, she's been doing this for 18 years. She just threw her phone up. Who knows why?
Like, into a light. You gotta watch this clip.
Find this clip on Rosie's TikTok. It's so funny.
Or just YouTube, like, Good Day New York, Rosie. You gotta watch the clip.
To this day. But yeah. It wouldn't be a Rosie experience if there wasn't some form of humanism in there. That was the most human thing that could possibly happen.
Oh my God, it was so crazy. I couldn't even believe it was, like, happening. I was like, how early did you get to the studio for that day?
We arrived around, like, 7:40.
Not too early.
Not too bad, but that was the day of the New York show. So we woke up at, like, 6, got there, prepared,
did that show.
Went back home. I had, like, a New York Post interview, then went back, did meet and greet for fans, did the show, and then did meet and greet with the industry. So that was, like, the longest day of my life.
Yeah, and then where do you sleep? Back in the apartment.
Yeah.
That's the great thing about the hometown show, right, is, like, you just go in the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
When you tour, because, like, when we tour, like, you probably get your own hotel room, and then the whole band probably shares their own rooms, right?
Well,
is that how it works?
No, because personally, I want my band to have privacy when they need privacy, so we switch off. So I usually don't take the private room. We always have the option. There's always
that to me. I feel like the stars gotta take the private room. You're sharing the private room.
Well, because
with the
I
band?
Need my band to be okay. Like, if
oh my God, that is so generous.
Well, it's just, and also I don't mind. I mean, I'm just going to bed.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I should probably just go to bed. Like, what happens is there's usually one or two rooms that are one room only, and then two more that are, or two or three that are doubles. So we just ask each night, like, who needs it? And someone will say,
just gonna say, like, I need the privacy tonight, or I want the
privacy. Yeah, it's like, hey, do you guys mind if I, and it's like, sure. Or, like, if someone's significant other's in town, it's like, hey, can we take it? It's like, yeah, sure,
yeah,
go
easy.
Ahead. So I had a private room once on tour.
Oh my God, it's so generous.
Well, generally, a happy crew is a happy tour,
is
you
a
know?
Happy
like,
tour.
I'm not about to be like, no.
You gotta keep the band happy.
I always, happy rows, happy shows. That's our phrase.
Yeah.
And we know that I'm only happy if, like, my crew is happy. So I always, water, food, plenty of rest stops.
Oh, my God, the snacks and the
snacks. We always have snacks.
We always say this when we go on the road, like, because it's so easy to go on the road and you end up being fast food and, like, late night snacks because nothing's open at that hour. So you end up going McDonald's. Like, we freak out. Like, we eat so unhealthy on the road. It's so hard not to, right?
Well,
what do you do? Give us the tricks.
She's laughing.
Like, what's your gas station snack?
Because No.
See, this is the problem. I'm stopping in gas stations.
Gas stations is a given, right? But here's the trick.
I want the rosy trick.
Listen, this is the biggest hack
I'm listening.
You plan ahead.
Mm.
I plan 3 to 4 hours ahead. So if we're getting on the road and we're in Denver, and we're planning to drive to Salt Lake City. Yeah. We're doing a drive, right? We're heading west. I say, hey, guys, it's 10 a.m. now. At 7 p.m., we're going to hit a place that has high ratings, that looks generally good, right? Not fast food, whatever. Who, like, is everybody down for that? Sure. Sounds good. So then we have dinner planned out and say, okay, well, it looks like around 2 p.m., 1 p.m., there's going to be a bagel place, or there's going to be, you know, a Starbucks, or like something that we know.
Starbucks is like your best friend on the road.
It's like your gold treasure.
Or Chipotle too.
Chipotle, yeah.
Oh my God.
Or Panera, you know?
Panera, yeah.
So it's, so honestly, the trick is I do it just because I love it. I love doing it. I love planning ahead.
Yeah.
And you do it hours and hours and hours in advance. So we didn't get fast food once. I mean, the boys would go out sometimes, like get McDonald's and whatever.
Sometimes it's fun to do like the road McDonald's run. Sometimes you got to do it.
But no one was ever forced, and we had 2 to 3 meals every day. And this leads me to then when you go to a gas station, you don't need like that many snacks. You know, no one was like only eating snacks all day, because that's when you start to feel so yucky.
The problem is you can't buy the snacks. If you buy the snacks, you end up eating the snacks. The trick is you just don't buy the snacks.
So the other thing that is really important for us is that along the way, especially, well, everywhere, but especially in the middle of the country, we found there's a lot of people in need, and there's a lot of homelessness. And so what we do is, like, I make sure whatever we get from the green room or whatever we get from, like, I've got,
oh, you donate it.
We give it out. So
that's
that
actually
way,
really nice, because we've left a lot of stuff in green
rooms. So it's like, and you know, I have a lot of amazing companies that send me things, and if there's any left over, what we do is at the end we like put them in like bags and give them away. And that's another way to always make sure, like, whatever we're buying, the concept is like, oh, if there were leftovers, could we give that to someone? You know? So it's like a good way of thinking about what to buy. Because if it's like trail mix, it's like, you can give trail mix away.
You can give trail mix away. There was a big bag of trail mix in the green room at is that your go-to? For the
it's
rider?
It's my go-to when I'm hungry, but we're not at a place where we're like gonna stop. Because, you know, it's full, it's sweet, I have a sweet tooth, it's like crunchy, it's salty.
It's probably not too unhealthy. It's like there's some nuts in there, some good protein.
No, and another thing that's really important to me, because I've struggled with body image. So many people I know have struggled with the relationship to food. It's just about what makes you feel good, you know, especially on tour. It's like, what makes you feel like you can go out and perform that night? And if that's McDonald's, that's Burger King, whatever, pop off.
You have so little luxuries on the road. You're in the van. You're up late.
So
you're exhausted.
I don't deem anything healthy or unhealthy on tour.
Eat
truthfully.
Whatever you need to eat.
No, literally, because I actually don't believe. I don't believe in cheat foods. I don't believe. It's like, no. When you're on tour, and just in life, but like, it's just about what makes you feel healthy, not what is healthy.
Yeah,
you know.
I like that.
So
that's why
I try to frame it, because I know a lot of people struggle with like food, and I would never want to deem any food, or even gas station food, like. Absolutely.
Yeah,
go for
rock it.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. I always try to find like an RX bar and a gas station.
I love RX bars, yeah.
I'll eat those. The candy that we always get is the Nerds Clusters.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had Nerds Cluster? It's the best candy you can get
in
a gas station.
In our van, everyone has their own thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So
what
whenever,
do they do?
When everyone has like a bad name, like, I got you.
Yeah, yeah.
Mateo and Michael love the Cool Ranch Doritos.
Oh, yeah.
Theo loved Slim Jims.
Slim Jims smell up the entire car. I know people love them.
I'm not going to yuck someone's yum, but
I'm not judging anything about Slim Jim, but if somebody eats a Slim Jim, the entire car smells like Slim Jim.
So, same with Doritos. Justin, who's our photographer, he loves sweets, so anything like chocolate milk, anything, cookies. I'm a crackers, peanut butter and crackers kind of person.
Do you get the peanut butter
crackers
that are like with the peanut butter in the middle?
Mm-hmm.
Great snack.
I love
Great
it.
Great snack.
It's like a little bit of protein. It keeps you full.
Yeah, it's kind of like satisfying, like good, great
also,
snack.
Also, peanut butter is like the best food in the world.
Oh, I love peanut butter.
Best condiment in the world, for
sure. Yeah, is the peanut butter. Yeah, oh my God.
So good.
Rosie, we've said it all.
Yes.
Five Songs for Healing is out now.
Yeah.
You have to go listen to this EP. It's only five songs, which is the best part. Someone You Once Had actually might be my favorite song on the EP. To me, it feels like a sleeper song. Like, I get why that maybe wasn't, like, the one, like, I Should Just Go to Bed that's, like, the single, like, everywhere in your face. But to me, like, that song, the hook in it, like, someone you once had. Like, to me, that is, like, an earworm for me. Like, I love that song. You have to listen to this. She just wrapped the tour, which is a bummer because I don't know if you can see her anytime soon. But what's happening? Are you going to be out?
I'm going to spend a minute writing, but fingers crossed.
Right now she's writing.
But fingers crossed in the fall, you know, hopefully something I'll find some
You're going to be on the road. Mateo's going to keep you busy.
I would love to.
Yeah.
I would love to be on the road. That's the dream.
Someone's going to take you out, or Mateo's going to pound the agent
I'm
and say, we need
dates. I'm hoping someone scoops me up.
No. What someone are we talking about? Me. If I know Mateo, he's going to get you back out on the road. Yeah. The fan, yes. You need to see the fans.
I need to see the fans.
You need to play this music.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to be back out before you even know it. So people have to follow you on, like, what, Instagram and TikTok and see where you're going to be on the road. Oh my God, that was such a great show the other night. Bowery Ballroom.
Thank you. It was so fun. Thank you for coming.
The palm of your hands. Are you kidding me? Like, everyone was like eating it up. They were like, Rosie, they were all there for you. Oh my God.
It means so much. That was a dream venue, a dream crowd, a dream last night of show.
Yeah. Did you change your shoes between the encore and the, that's like a move, right?
Yeah.
Why do you do that? Just to like mix it up? You gotta do that.
A little mix it up. Also, I like to throw in a little surprise, you know?
Yeah.
Because I'm just, like, not the high heels type, but I am.
No, you were wearing some...
I am. That's the thing. I think, again, keeping a crowd engaged. It's like...
Those little things, like, I used to go shows, and I used to love seeing what guitars the guitar players were going to play, and when they changed guitars every time, or they changed a guitar for the encore, I love that.
And
like, that's
like,
so
like
fun.
To think I'm, like, a... I don't know how to say this in, like, a not weird way. It's an all-inclusive experience. You know what I mean? It's about the fashion. It's about the lights. It's about the visuals. It's about the music. It's about the band. You know, like, it's an immersive experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta see the Rosie tour. The healing tour. It's done, though.
The healing tour is done, but you gotta see a Rosie tour.
You need to go out and see a Rosie show. If she's coming, when she announces new dates, when she's coming to you, you gotta go. You have to go. But in the meantime, 5 Songs for Healing is out now, which you have to listen to. And you follow her on TikTok, and you'll see her there. It's like you know her. You're gonna watch her content. And you're gonna say, oh, I know Rosie. Like, I'm keeping up with her. I'm everywhere.
That's what I hope.
Rosie, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having
Melrose
me.
Podcast Studios. Here we are.
Shout out. Thank you so much.
Little plug for Melrose. Do I get a discount for that? No. No, I'm kidding.
Off.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. We did it.
We did it.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you so much.